All year round, Frontier Home Products and Design has what you need to make your home comfortable and beautiful. Relax on a new timber tech deck designed by Frontier's experts. A new fireplace from Frontier Home Products Fireplace Gallery adds warmth and serenity to any home. Beauty and versatility at Frontier Home Products and Design Center, 4213 Peachtree, 5th next to the Bayfront Highway.
Frontier Home Products and Design Center. Discover a new frontier.
PA contractor number PA039007.
Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie, PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
We are so excited to have with us here in studio Mark Christopher Lawrence. He is an actor, he's a producer, a writer, and a comic, appearing live at Keller's, a modern magic and comedy club here in Erie, this Friday and Saturday night at 7:30. We're so glad that you're here, Mark. Great to get your story. I appreciate you being here.
So. Thanks for having me.
You got it. So we were talking a bit about how you came up, coming out of high school, public speaking. I mean, you think about it. They say some people are more fearful of public speaking than death. That obviously is lost on you, you know?
I mean. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But what's funny is like people will say, comedy is the hardest thing to do. And I say, no, singing. I said, because with comedy, you tell a bad joke, boom, you write into a new one. You got 3, 4, 5 minutes of bad song.
Right? That's very true. Oh, my gosh. So you were talking about your agent came to see you perform at one of the college events, and then that kind of brought you right into film and television. And was it Hill Street Blues?
Hill Street Blues, yeah.
Wow.
My first job.
All right. So how do you get momentum going in Hollywood? Because you got to stay working, right? I mean
that's the key, is to stay working. Sometimes Hollywood doesn't allow you to stay working, but now with all these other outlets,
I think it's
easier to keep momentum. And you can create your own stuff and put it up. Social media is a big factor in doing that. Right during the pandemic, we created a short film that I ended up being nominated for an Emmy for.
Oh my gosh.
It's called Stacks. And, it was one of those situations where my producer friend Gerald, he goes, man, I went to Costco today and I'm all mad. He says, like, I'm going to send you something. So he sends me this skeleton of the script. And I said, oh, this is funny. I said, we should shoot it. And then next thing you know, we shot it in Emmy nomination.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible. Do you like to kind of do some drama, do some comedy, in your film and TV work? Or
I think I'm a better dramatic actor than I'm a comedic actor.
Okay.
And I think it's because I work harder at the drama, because when you're working in drama, you got to dig up some ugliness in your own life to get to where you need to be emotionally sometimes. And I work harder at that. Comedy comes easy. It's like it's easy for me to find, a spin on a line to make it funny.
That's remarkable. Because a lot of folks think that comedy is the tough one. You know what I mean? But you're saying that drama lets you go deeper.
Well, for me, I think you have to go deeper. It's like sometimes, for instance, I was doing the play Fences, and through a really tough weekend of tech rehearsals, there's a moment where my character Gabriel comes out and he's going to blow the trumpet to let his brother Troy into heaven. And I was so exhausted. And so I left the dressing room, and there's a little flat that sort of poked out, and there's a dark corner. I stood in that corner and I thought about everything I could think of moment by moment from the time I woke up to the time I buried my brother.
Oh my gosh.
And so when I hit the stage, that emotional state was there. And I started saying the lines, and a tear rolled. And then the actress I'm working with, she started crying. And then you hear sniffles through the audience. And then all of a sudden, it's the end of the play, and all of the other actors are on stage by now. And you hear sniffles behind me, and I'm blowing the trumpet. And it's air. Because he doesn't even have a mouthpiece on the trumpet.
Yeah, yeah.
And to get to that point, you know, I had to dig into personal stuff.
Well, and you don't usually get that kind of response on a film or TV set. That's the differential between live theater, right, man?
Exactly. I mean, that's why I like live, because you affect people in real time. You know, and they let you know right now if you're terrible or not. You know, and you can go back and fix it tomorrow. TV and film, you got to hope the editor does you a good take. For example, in Pursuit of Happiness, there's a scene where Will Smith comes to get his money from me. And my best take was the second take. I remember it very well. He reached for my pocket. I slapped his hand, which I think is why he started slapping Chris Rock.
I'm totally getting why you're doing stand-up, because you're very funny, but like, you've got this incredible deep side of you. It might be
sleep deprivation.
But it kind of reminds me of like what they say about Robin Williams, where when he wanted to turn to the dramatic, you know,
yeah,
he could turn it on. I mean, I would hope that would be a compliment for you.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely. I had an interview in D.C., and then the guy comes out and watches the show, and his review, he said that I'm reminiscent of Robin Williams and all of these physical comedy people. He says, but the difference is Mark puts them all together in the same pot, you know, which is kind of true. It's like, as I come off on stage, I talk and I'm connecting, but I'm also a little bit theatrical, and it makes it fun for me. You know what I mean? And I think that's the key, is to, if I'm having fun, hopefully you're having fun.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Talk about, you know, your set that you're planning on doing on Friday and Saturday. Again, Comedy Erie, it's a brand new place for you. Will you do some topical things from what you're experiencing here?
Maybe not. I generally wake up the day of the show and write an outline.
Okay.
And then figure out what I'm going to do. And then I get on stage and see where it takes me. And I always know how I'm going to start and how I'm going to finish. And then in the middle, we see what I hit. And after the show, I always look at that outline and go, oh, I didn't say any of that.
Yeah. Right. Best made plans here.
Right.
Talk about your most recent work here. Again, you have 128 acting credits on IMDb with 7 projects in the works. Talk about, like, you know, how do you manage all of this?
Well, first of all, IMDb is not accurate because there's stuff that's not there from before internet.
Uh-huh.
You know, and some of those producers have passed on, so they never put that stuff up.
Sure.
And then, like, it says 7 things in the works.
Yeah.
Some of them may have already happened.
Right.
You know, some of them may be in post
in
already.
In post, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like bringing back Christmas, we actually just released back in November, right before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So some of those things are, you know, managing it is not really the thing for the actor. It's like as an actor, I just go out and do what I'm told to do.
Right.
And but then the producing side is the hard part. It's like, you know, finding the funds to shoot the stuff that you want to shoot. And
what kinds of things are you looking for these days?
Well, right now I'm working on getting the podcast up and going, and okay. I got a couple of films that we want to do, and a TV show. There's a show that we want to do that's set in a coffee shop, and you know, so there's lots of little things on my plate that we're just looking for funding and trying to get stuff done.
I'm interested in what you might, you know, because I have a podcast of this show. Mm. What's your podcast going to be about?
It's going to be about my relationships with other actors and comedians and singers, and we call it Call Time. So it's
nice.
It's stories from behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Because usually when some people are asking me questions, it's always about behind the scenes, and I think that's interesting to people.
Right, right. I want to talk about Chuck, because would you say that was the longest run that you had?
Yes.
For
television?
Yeah, for TV, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Christopher Lawrence is with us here. If you are trying to picture that face, he's think about Chuck and Terminator 2 and all of these, you know, The Island, K-Pax, Again, my favorite is Chuck. I want to talk about Chuck first off. I mean, it's kind of a madcap. He's kind of a superhero. You know, the premise of the show is kind of cool, you know?
Yeah.
And you play the manager of what kind of what's supposed to be like a Best Buy.
Right, right. Right. I originally read for the Harry Tang role.
Oh, okay.
And apparently didn't get it. And I get a call from my agent saying, hey, they wrote a role for you. Josh Schwartz loves you. So they wrote a role and it's probably going to be like a high and buy kind of thing, maybe recurring, maybe not. And, you know, first season I did every episode.
Yes, right. Right. And of course, they were trying to establish the Zach Levi, Chuck's ability to be able to see in the future, right? I mean,
right,
that's the whole
right,
point.
Right. Well, to be able to see, he was able to flash on things that were in the Intersect, which was downloaded into his head. Yeah, which is interesting.
It really is. It's a wild concept. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, you had Yvonne. What is it?
Strahovski, as we call it.
Strahovski. I mean, she definitely was driving things. You had
Adam Baldwin. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I thought Josh Gomez was the funniest guy on the
absolutely,
show.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He made great. Me laugh every day.
Oh, my gosh. And so when you're in that kind of ensemble, you know, is there room to move your character around a little bit? Because I think there was at least one or two storylines with you that were pretty focused on you in the series, right? I mean,
yeah, I hate the way the show went to network. You know, so Warner Brothers had to license it to NBC.
Okay.
And so NBC never really wanted the show. So every year they waited to see if any of their shows got picked up before they would give us a re-up. And we lost writers every season. I think some of the writers that were really good for me, you know, we lost.
Okay.
You know, like Allie Adler wrote my best stuff. It's like the best Big Mike scenes. It was Allie Adler.
Yeah. Talk about, some of your favorite moments on Chuck, if you would.
Well, clearly the two moments where I had interaction with some of the dark characters, you know, Patrick Kilpatrick and Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, anytime you get to knock those big guys out, it's great.
That's awesome.
And it makes you look like a superhero. But I think my favorite episode for Big Mike was the end of the first season where everything is stolen out of the Buy More, including his fish.
Right, right. Yeah. Oh, fantastic. And so how hard is it to do that kind of series work? Because, what I mean, back then, you're doing, 24 episodes-ish, or?
Well, first season was short because of the writer's strike.
Yeah,
so we did 13.
Gotcha.
And then, so we did 26, I think, total, 26 episodes a season. But, you know, once they started paying me, I wasn't in every episode.
Okay.
You know, but it's not, I mean, this is not brain surgery. So it's not, the hardest part of it is staying up late at night memorizing.
Okay.
You know, that's the hardest. I was talking to Ron on the way over here that before I came here, I did a thing for Tyler Perry, and then I went to Sioux Falls to do Christmas at the Cathedral, which is a different type of memorization. You got to make it stay in there. You know, TV, it's short-term memory. The things I shoot today, I won't remember tomorrow. And then all of a sudden, you got to shift your brain and say, hey, words stay in there because we need to keep these for a week or longer.
Do you have like a pro tip for memorization and just good mental agility?
I don't turn the page until I know it.
Oh.
And for me, I see the page, so I have to highlight my part. So as I'm speaking, I actually see that page in those highlights.
So you have a photographic memory.
For that, probably, clearly for nothing else. And, you know, I just tell people, you just got to keep going until you know it.
Yeah.
You know, I won't go to bed until it's in my head. So
you don't have to answer this, but are there lazy actors on the set oftentimes where you're like, you're just dragging a lot of time because they just didn't do their prep?
occasionally you'll just run into an actor that's hasn't done their work, and it's annoying.
Sometimes the director can't really come down on them because they're too strategic to the movie or film.
Necessarily. I think sometimes what they do is they'll just say, okay, give me that line again, and they'll feed it to them, and then they'll do it.
Okay,
you know, but as your fellow actor acting with you, it's unfair to me.
Yeah,
you know, if you don't know your lines, because now the through line of the scene is clunky. You know, so now, once again, we got to hope the editor gives me a good turn.
So much is left up to the post, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. If I had to do it all over again, I'd be somewhere in post.
We've just got a few more minutes with Mark Christopher Lawrence. I want you to talk about the kinds of things that you share in your stand-up. What can the Erie folks expect here at Keller's this weekend?
Well, I'm a storyteller, so everything in my act is based on something true. There's going to be, you know, some truth in every story. Some of the stories I embellish a little bit to make them funnier. Some of them I just tell them just the way it happened, and it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And I don't pick on the audience unless you try to help. And if you try to help, I try to help you stop.
You're not looking for any, you know, any
right.
co-writers. Or,
right.
We're not going to give out any credits here.
It's... Exactly. Nobody was there at 3 a.m. when I was writing a joke. So hush.
Isn't that amazing when you think about, you know, songwriting? You were mentioning songs.
Right.
Songwriting today is what? 8 people are on a song, you know.
Right.
Not just Lennon and McCartney,
right.
you know.
Right. That was one thing I loved about Whitney Houston. You know, she didn't write a lot of songs, but she was smart enough to know that her name on a song would help it. So she would say, hey, I'll do your song, but I got to put my name on it, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, because that's where the money is in the public.
I'm sure she added to that. Run with that for a second there, Mark. You know, how has Hollywood changed the most? You've been mentioning the social media thing and that basically it's just not enough to, you know, have an agent and have your gigs on film or on television. You really have got to manage the population, right?
Yeah, a lot of times I'm hearing from a lot of other actors too that they, the first thing they asked me was, you know, how was my Instagram? And it's like, why? You know, like I was late to the Instagram game. I had the app for 2 years and forgot I had it. You know, so now it's like I'm trying to build that up and I'm feeling some stress about it. So if there's like a 12-year-old kid out there who's really good at this thing, hit me up.
I was going to say, maybe we could get some Erie folks to start following you on Instagram. What's your handle there?
Mark Christopher Lawrence.
Okay, easy peasy, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's smart that you added the middle name there. And again, straight out of Compton, in Erie, PA this weekend, what have you thought of the club? Because it's fancy.
I haven't been in there yet. I'm looking forward to being there tomorrow night and on Saturday night.
I mean, the Harry Keller story, you got to dive in, because I think you love history, I would imagine. So, I mean, they say
do I?
I'm projecting upon you, maybe. I don't know. No, I mean, basically, he was the dean of old time magic, and he taught Houdini or was a.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. I guess I probably should have did some homework before I came to the club.
They literally have a thing where you can levitate yourself.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I gained like 30 pounds during that pandemic. It's going to be hard to levitate off this chair.
Well, we're just so pleased as punch. I got just a couple minutes left. And, I'm just thinking that, when you get ready to work on new things, is there something out in this entertainment space that you really wish that you could kind of try? I mean, because it seems like you've done a whole plethora of different things, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure that there's something that I've wanted to do that I haven't done.
Yeah.
I want to do more of my own stuff when it comes to film and television. I want to produce more and direct more.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I'm surrounding myself with people that are sort of like-minded in that way, and we're trying to create and that's helping me.
Are you able to do it? I mean, is the money there to support that kind of thing, or do you have to? Sometimes you have a low budget thing. Sometimes you might have a big budget thing. How does that? Again, I'm sitting here in Erie, PA. I don't really understand the modern.
Well, that's exactly
funding
it.
Part of it.
That's,
you know,
exactly it. Sometimes you have a low budget thing, and sometimes you have a big budget thing. And usually, if you have a big budget thing, you got to get some names attached to it.
Okay.
In order to find the money for it. Low budget things like Stacks, for example.
Yeah.
We just called our friends and said, "Hey, we're shooting this thing. You want to be in it?" And they showed up.
That kind of sounds like Andy Hardy. Hey, kids, let's have a show. You know?
Right.
That's amazing.
Right. The hardest part of it is finding the money to do stuff. Yeah. You know, because you don't want to spend your own money, because if it flops, then now you're eating bologna for the rest of the year.
Come on. All right. So, hey, let's go over it again. Mark Christopher Lawrence, you know him from Chuck and Terminator 2 and Stacks and K-Pax and The Island, appearing at Keller's Modern Magic and Comedy Club Friday night, 7:30, Saturday night, 7:30 here on State Street. Appreciate you coming on.
But thanks for having me.
You
got it. Appreciate
you.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@TalkErie.com.